All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Steelers hammered yesterday, 36-10, worst offense in the first half that really that franchise has ever had. Five consecutive games without a touchdown in the first half for the first time since 1940. Mike Ostie, our good buddy from Steelers Now and Pittsburgh Sports Live, joins. Before we talk any Steelers, I want to know, Mike Ostie, no kids, right? No kids, right, Mike?
No kids yet. Recently married, no kids yet.
All right, I want to spring this on you. I didn't want to let you know what I was going to ask. I want a live, thoughtful response. All right, you ready?
Okay.
You don't have any idea what the hell I'm going to ask you. At what age is it reasonable for kids to stop believing in Santa Claus? What do you think? My kids are nine, by the way. They still do. So just a little bit of a barometer there.
Your kids are nine.
Yep.
Okay. Well, hopefully they're not listening to this segment.
They are not.
Okay. I would say your kids are getting borderline here. I would say anywhere from a range of 9 to 11, certainly 12 would be the absolute brick wall. I would say 10. I'll say this. We do have a couple of nephews and a niece, my wife's brother's kids, and one of my nephews, I believe, is 10. And I believe he still believes, but she has a friend, a coworker, whose kid, I believe, is 9 or 10, and he doesn't believe in Santa anymore, so he says, but he still believes in Elf on the Shelf. So I'm not sure how that makes sense.
Nice.
Because they should go hand in hand. I don't know if one's more believable than the other. Maybe Elf on the Shelf is somehow more believable. I guess it's less travel, even though, just in the house rather than having to go all over the world. But I think around 9 or 10 type of thing. I don't know. Have you ever thought about the conversation you're going to have, though, when that is,
yes,
hey, I no longer believe daddy?
And I'm right with you. They're 9. I think we have one more year. I'm thinking that 10 will probably, because my kids are in third grade, they'll be in fourth grade when they're 10, fifth grade when they're 11.
Some school is going to ruin it.
Exactly.
That's what happens
in the world. No matter what your kids are or at home, other kids, you start to hear. So I'm hoping, knock on wood, we have one more year at 10, and then that's probably going to be it. Now, they do still believe in the Tooth Fairy as well, because the Tooth Fairy brings them money, Mike, and that's important.
Yeah, so you're going to believe in what will help you and benefit you personally. Are you ever going to have a scenario, though, where if they don't come to you by 10, you're going to sit the kid down and say, well, Mike Ostie and I got together, and we feel like we need to tell you something now.
Absolutely not. What are we, some kind of a-holes out here ruining Santa Claus for these? No, I would not do that.
Yeah,
but you're right. That's interesting. I have not really thought about the conversation. My kids are really cool. They're immature when it comes to kind of some worldly stuff. We shelter them a little bit. But, yeah, that conversation is going to suck. And you'll probably have that conversation in, 11, 12, 13, 14 years.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's in our future, just not currently in our present. But yeah, I think no one could argue. There shouldn't be a 13-year-old out there, I don't think, believe it.
Yeah, all right, very good. And that's really the best conversation we're going to have today. So I appreciate your time, and thank you so much. Mike Ostie from Steelers Now, Pittsburgh Sports Live, joining us. So Steelers, look, the Chiefs are fantastic. I think the Chiefs are the best team in football right now. I'm not going to jump off a bridge because the Steelers got destroyed by the Chiefs. And there are some people in Pittsburgh that are going nuts over this. But look, if they win their next two games, and that's feasible, I mean, should we just be saying burn all of this the hell down? Because if they beat the Browns and the Ravens, Mike, they could be in the – not that they're going to do anything in the playoffs, but they could be in the playoffs.
Let me put you this way. Yeah, it's still likely a chance they could be in the playoffs. They definitely could be in the playoffs. They still have a lot to play in front of them. This is still a Steelers team that, based on the landscape of the league and based on what's happened around the league, you look at Cleveland losing on Saturday. You look at a lot of these other teams, the Chargers and these teams losing their recent games. So the Steelers absolutely are still alive, and you want to be in. This year is kind of unfolding how I thought it would, honestly, where it would be a 500 year, maybe one game above 500 or one game below, and they would maybe squeak in that seventh seed or miss out altogether. But getting in, does that necessarily mean the Steelers are fine and everyone should just be happy with the result as well? Because this is a Steelers team that, yeah, they may get in the playoffs, and that's better than not getting in, but they're certainly benefiting from the landscape of the league. This is a team that has been exposed against better competition. I would say there's almost a 0% chance they win any games in the postseason. I'd be shell-shocked if they go on any type of playoff run. And, of course, the Rooney family and Tomlin, they're never going to tank games, so they want to get in there, but it's only going to hurt their draft positioning. And I think there's a lot that has been evident that are even bigger problems than we thought prior to the year. So getting into the playoffs, does that mean things are fixed? Does that mean fans should be happy about the future? Does that mean everything's fine? For me, no. I don't know if you need to freak out because of this result against the Chiefs, even with Kelce not in there. However, that game unfolded worse than I thought it even would. I mean, 36-10, they were out of the game from opening kickoff. It's kind of been a similar recipe for the Steelers most of the season. And a week earlier, yeah, you beat Tennessee without Derrick Henry and Julio Jones getting hurt early. But it just looked really, really, really bad. So getting in the playoffs doesn't mask any of the Steelers' issues. Yeah, they're still alive, but it's the landscape of the league. And I think there's still plenty of reason for Steelers fans to be concerned about the future, because there's a lot of problems that are well beyond the quarterback position that are likely not able to be fixed this year and might not even be able to be fixed next year.
That's a great point right there. Mike Ostie joining us from Steelers. That last point, I mean, you said, I was kind of taking a mental note of all the things you said. I was going to like, oh, that's, we could go this way. But that last point, I think, is the most important, because we can talk about Ben all we want. Ben is not the reason they're losing these games. I mean, the offense is terrible in the first half, but I mean, because what you're talking about is things that could linger for another 2 to 3 to 4 years. Okay, we can all talk, what quarterback are they going to draft? Blah, 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 blah. But what are the primary issues that you think this organization is going to have to address once this season is over so that they don't fall into some kind of 7-10 franchise?
Yeah, I mean, the number one issue that I think everybody can see, it's pretty clear, it was clear before the season, it is the entire reason why there was a debate actually of not drafting Najee Harris in the first round, because the Steelers need offensive line help. I mean, they really need offensive line help. The Steelers' offensive line has been a ragtag group most of this year. And yeah, they dealt with injuries, and yeah, they're dealing with inexperience, but it's really coming to a head. Even in games that they've been good or quote-unquote good, you're grading them with a curve in those games. And yeah, Ben's not nearly been good enough. He's certainly a shell of his former self, but the offensive line has been so bad, they make it impossible for an immobile aging quarterback to get anything going. It then makes it tougher on the running back, who has certainly regressed this year, somehow stacks near at the end of that game against Kansas City, but certainly hasn't been as good in recent weeks. It makes it harder on the receivers. It's just not a lot of time to do anything. And you saw Kendrick Green, actually, a rookie, so you can't expect much from a rookie, but he got benched in the middle of the game against Kansas City. That hasn't happened yet this year. There hasn't really been a move the coaching staff made prior to that that sends a message to the offensive line, maybe besides Zach Banner not getting on the field after his year-and-a-half issue with injuries. But that offensive line is the number one thing, Corey, that also leads the conversation to be for the offseason that, yeah, Ben is likely not back and you need to replace the quarterback position. But if they can't draft Kenny Pickett, if they can't draft Sam Howell, it's not a deep class, then they maybe need to go offensive line. They maybe need to even go into the secondary, a cornerback that they have still not been able to fix. So the number one concern for this team, no matter who's under center, no matter what's going on, is offensive line. And that has held back everything this year. It doesn't matter whether it's Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, whoever. If you have an offensive line performing as bad as the Steelers have been on a consistent basis this year, you are incredibly handcuffed to do anything. And they didn't shore it up in the offseason. They lost a lot of veteran pieces. They didn't put an emphasis on it in the draft as much as some thought they should. They have to moving forward or nothing else matters.
I'm going to ask you a question that I'm not sure if you've fully considered the entire ramification of all of this, and I'm talking about over a 10 to 20 year period. Okay, is it possible that the Pittsburgh Steelers, as a preeminent NFL franchise, that time is over? Because we talk about this with regards to Ben, and there was the time after Terry, the Mark Malone years, and all these years where the Steelers, you know, were fair to middling, to steal a phrase from one of the guys here in the building. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the great sports franchises in this country, period.
Sure.
And the standard is the standard. Is that going to be the case here for the next 10 to 15 years?
I don't know what the standard is going to be. I will tell you that it will remain the standard. I don't know if it will be a successful standard moving on. It's hard to predict what's going to happen in 10, 20 years, but the one thing that I've been bringing up all year that fans seemingly want to ignore and others have been bringing up, and it's just true, and you mentioned kind of one example there throughout NFL history and off of the Steelers' history itself, it is very rare, incredibly rare, throughout league history of any league, but certainly NFL history with the quarterback position, to replace one, not even Hall of Famer, but franchise legitimate great quarterback
who's
been around for a while and brought you some level of success with another one right away. In fact, it's incredibly common to have that be another decade or so, if not two or three decades, before you find that next guy. It took the Steelers obviously a very, very long time to find that next guy from Bradshaw. The next Hall of Famer's Ben. So you're looking at 3 decades later, even though they had some team success in the middle there, you're talking Favre to Rodgers, you're talking Montana to Young, even Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, even though Luck's career didn't go as long as maybe they thought it would at the time. Maybe even you could include Joe Flacco just because he won a Super Bowl MVP to Lamar Jackson, who became an MVP candidate. It's just not common to have happened throughout NFL history. So based on the situation for the Steelers with Ben, likely not back next year, already an aging quarterback. Mason Rudolph right now would be that guy. He is the QB2. Haskins, not a popular figure among the Steelers. He hasn't proven anything to be above QB3, despite being a former first-round pick. So whether it be Mason, somehow Haskins improves his reputation in Pittsburgh, or they draft the Kenny Pickett, whom people obviously believe a lot in, but it's going to be very difficult for the Steelers to even be able to draft him. And if they get in the playoffs, they probably would put themselves in a situation where they cannot. Nothing guaranteed with a rookie, though. You're looking at a long period of time before they find that next guy. That's just the odds of it. So in today's NFL, if you don't have an elite quarterback, if you don't have one of those guys, you got to have something else that drives you in that direction to be able to be successful. And the franchises that don't have that guy that are successful usually are still one cusp away from greatness, or they just can't get over the hump. So that does feel like the Steelers situation here moving forward.
I mean,
they need to fix and need to worry about here for the future.
Defensively, they've been great basically forever. But, I mean, nobody wants to think about turning into the New York Giants or the New York Jets. And it's not like the Jets had anywhere near as much success over long periods of history as the Steelers. But the Giants did. And quite frankly, the Giants are laughing. I mean, after Ben... And to be perfectly honest with you, everybody is just Rooney this and Tomlin. I think that ship is run by prison is run by the inmates. I mean, the Steelers are one of the most disorganized, dysfunctional franchises out there when it comes to discipline. Their head coach, who I guess just has a damn job for life. Does Mike Tomlin just have a job for life because the Steelers don't ever move on from anybody? Okay, so you
no,
now
no,
so
I
now you're going
clearly, yeah,
yeah.
He so does now, have a life appointment as head coach of the Steelers.
Yeah,
and
so
I
now it's been
he is maybe underrated by some and disrespected by some with his legacy, but there's certainly warts there. There's certainly things to criticize.
Yeah.
But the Steelers pride themselves in having 3 head coaches who all are going to be Hall of Famers in 50 years of the franchise once they started getting going.
Do they pride themselves on no playoff wins for 5 years now? It'll be 5 years after this year. And could it be another 5 years? I mean, does Mike Tomlin is he just allowed to coach if he goes 10 years without a playoff win?
Yes.
Yeah,
bluntly, because as we talked about at the beginning of the show, they still could crawl in the playoffs this year. So if they would go 8-8-1, or they would get him into 9-7-1, or something like that, and they would get into the postseason, that would absolutely keep him along. I don't even know how much longer he wants to be there. He was in Sonoma a year ago. Kevin Colbert is somebody that I actually heard from a very, very close source that's related to Kevin Colbert. I won't say more on that, but basically told me that he was going to retire a year ago, and we obviously heard those Detroit rumors. So I don't even think this regime, whether it be Tomlin, Colbert, obviously the Rooney family will keep on being around, is going to be responsible for that much more of the future of this franchise. I would not imagine if we're talking 5 years from now that either Tomlin or Colbert are there. Colbert certainly likely won't be there, but it's not because Tomlin got fired by any means, no.
Right.
He's a Hall of Fame coach. It's happened with other franchises in the league today. It's very rare today in today's sports, but if you look at John Harbaugh and his level of success, very similar. They're staying the course. Eventually, you sometimes get rewarded. And unless he goes 2-15 for two or three years in a row. And I think at that point they would still have a meeting to let him walk away himself. They're just not going to fire him. And if you look at through history, if we were dealing with analyzing this team and evaluating head coaches with our 2021 mindset, I'm sure there would have been people that wanted Bill Cowher fired with years in a row of playoff failures, years in a row even of missing the postseason altogether. Tomlin hasn't had that blemish. He still hasn't had an up below 500 record. Yes, he's missed the playoffs, but they could squeak in this year. And again, he has plenty that's there that you can criticize, but no, they're not going to be moving on from Tomlin.
Awesome.
There's just no way.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time. Hopefully you had a good Christmas, and happy holidays, pal.
Absolutely. Right back at you. Definitely let me know when you need me back for sure. And yeah, they're, Santa was not kind to the Steelers, I guess.
Nice. Very well.
And they lost to a team in Santa Red, and they got blown out.
Good bookend on that interview. Thanks, buddy.
See you, man.
Great stuff. Mike Ossie from Steelers Now, Pittsburgh Sports Live.